But the Washington Post did a study, and they wanted to find out what made Americans most frightened. And so they put together the top 10 list of things that Americans are most afraid of. This is published back in 2014. And this list, I couldn't believe some of these things on here. Some of them I can kind of see, but some of them I was just completely baffled by. Here we go. Number 10 thing that Americans are afraid of. We're afraid of the dark. There could be something under your bed, who knows. Number 9, this one threw me. Zombies. I think you need to get rid of your next Netflix subscription there. Number 8, we're afraid of strangers. Okay, that kind of makes sense. Number 7, flying. I'm not a big fan of flying. Number 6, claustrophobia, a fear of small places you can't escape. Number 5, Americans are afraid of blood and needles. All right, that makes sense. Number 4, drowning. Yeah, that's pretty awful. I came close once. I'm here because of my older brother. That's another story. Number 3, we're afraid of bugs, snakes, and wild animals. That sounds like my house, you know. They scream and yell, there's a horrible animal in here, and I find a little thing in the corner. I got it. You're safe now. Number 2 thing Americans are afraid of, we're afraid of heights. Yeah, me too. And then number 1 thing that Americans are afraid of, public speaking. That's number 1. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. People do get nervous. You know, fear is something that's God-given. God made us so that we had some sense of fear. And this can be a healthy thing. If we didn't have fear, then we would take unnecessary risks. We might hurt ourselves or hurt other people. But we have a sense that if I do something truly dumb, there'll be consequences that'll hurt. And so we have this God-given mechanism that keeps us safe. And if you don't believe me that fear is a healthy thing, we teach it to kids, don't we? If there's a street and a bunch of cars, we say, you don't want to run out there. And the kid says, well, why not? And we'd say, those cars aren't going to stop, right? And so we teach them that there's some things that are unsafe. Or the kid drops something on the ground somewhere, and you're like, don't eat that. And as the kid is reaching for whatever they dropped, you're like, germs, you know? You want them to be healthy and safe. And we don't want them to have problems. So fear can be a healthy thing. Even spiritually, we need to have some sense of fear. The Bible talks about having the fear of God. And we think about unbelievers, and we warn them there's an eternity. And someday you will stand before God, and he will be your judge. And God will judge you on the basis of your sins, the things that you've said, thought, or done that displease God, the things that have broken his laws, the many things that we do. Lying is a sin. And taking God's name in vain is a sin. Not worshiping God the way we should is being a sin. Being selfish is a sin. Being angry for yourself, that's a sin. And there's many other sins that we commit. Thinking immoral thoughts, that's a sin. There's so many things that are sinful. And we warn people, if you stand before God on Judgment Day and you have all these sins, God can send you to hell because God is a holy God. He's a just God. He's holy. He's separate. And he will be separated from sin for eternity. So we warn them, Christ has died to pay for your sins. We need to accept this because we don't want you to face the consequence of your sin. As believers, after we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we still should fear danger. Things can happen to our friends. Things can happen to our family. Things can happen to us. Spiritually, we can be sidetracked. We can be shipwrecked. Our lives can be ruined. And so we need to have fear. Someday we'll stand before God and we'll have to give an account of our lives and he'll reward us. And we don't want it to be a day of shame. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful service. And so we fear those things. We should be cautious. Now, in general, fear is a good thing, right? We'd all agree you need to have a certain amount of it. And the problem with young people is they don't have enough of it, right? They don't have any sense of consequence or danger. And so they'll act in ways that you think this isn't going to end well, right? And they have to learn. Something bad happens and they learn. And eventually they become adults. But fear can also be something that's negative. Fear can be something that's debilitating. Fear can be something that freezes us and keeps us from doing what we should do. Fear can be a harmful thing. And the fact is that we're sinners, and so we have this flesh, and my flesh has fallen. It's been corrupted. I don't think clearly. I don't act clearly. You ever say or do something, and you're like, why? Why did I say it? Why did I do that? You know, that was so hurtful. Why did I say those things? The fact is that you're a sinner, and you don't always think things through. And we have this flesh, and it's corrupted. And so we do things and say things that we shouldn't sometimes. And in the same way, our perceptions can be altered. And sometimes our perceptions can be off, and we can be fearful of things that are not a big deal. Something's very small, and we're panicking, right? And we're just losing it. And so our sense of fear can be corrupted by sin. And as it's corrupted, we can allow our fear to take us places we don't want to be. And instead of fear being something that's keeping us from danger, your fear can lead you into danger. Your fear can create more problems for you. Your fear can make you do things that are hurtful. And so fear can be an overwhelming thing at times that makes us even sin and draws us from God. And we don't want to be controlled by fear. We don't want fear to be this debilitating thing. But once we allow fear in, and once fear takes us apart and keeps us from doing what we should do, once fear makes us freeze up, then we begin to do and say things that are irrational, don't we? And when you make decisions from a place of fear, you're going to make a bad decision. You're going to regret that decision later because you weren't thinking clearly when you made that. And sometimes fearful people make decisions that make the bad thing happen even faster because they're just panicking, right? And they're just flailing and just going with whatever comes up. And sometimes even in believers, and I see it in this church sometimes. I see it in some people's eyes. I see fear there, and fear has taken over. And it's a sad thing because you think, and I hear this sometimes, somebody should go warn sister so-and-so. Someone should go warn brother so-and-so. And I say, why don't you go warn brother so-and-so? Or why don't you go warn sister so-and-so? Oh, I couldn't do that. They would never listen to me. They need someone in leadership to speak truth to them. I can never speak truth. Oh, but that's so wrong though, isn't that? God wants to use you, but the fact is that you're controlled by fear. Or we say this, someone needs to go witness to that person over there. And that someone is not me, right? Because I'm afraid of what they think. I can't handle this fearful situation. And so fear can keep us from saying the things. Fear can keep us from doing the things that should be done. And unfortunately, fear can keep us from having God's blessing in our life if we're controlled by fear. And this is a sad thing because Christ wants to give us freedom. And the Bible warns us about inappropriate fear. I'm going to go through these quickly. So if you have a pen and paper, you can write them down and maybe come back later. But this is a very common theme in Scripture is fear and being controlled by sinful fear. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8, it talks about in the army of Israel, if you were a soldier and you were controlled by fear, they would send you home. They would say, go home. We don't have anyone else to act the way you're acting right now. You're going to do more damage than good if you're here. Leave, okay? We don't want our group controlled by fear. Proverbs 10 and verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it will come upon him. Here's this wicked person, and they have all this fear. And what happens? Does the fear help them, protect them? No. It just speeds up their demise. The thing that they're focusing on comes to them. Proverbs 29:1, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There's a contrast. The fear of man brings a snare. If you're trapped by what people think about you, it's like you can't do the things that you're going to need to do. You're going to be stuck. We don't want to be afraid of what people think of us. This is debilitating. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're controlled by fear, that fear did not come from God. That fear came from your flesh. Satan is manipulating you through your emotions. Okay? God's not given us the spirit of fear. We're not controlled by fear. We're not debilitated. This isn't what God has intended for us to be. God gave us fear as a warning to help us, but it does not control us. Okay? With God's help, I should have freedom. I shouldn't be controlled by fear. 1 John 4:8, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you're controlled by fear, the Bible says your life is full of torment. Fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? You ever sit there and just worry? You think about all the bad things that can happen? Before long, you're just all frozen up. You're afraid to do anything. Fearful people do nothing, right? Because they're so controlled by the fear. They can't afford to act. And this often acts in something very bad happening to them. If you're controlled by fear, The Bible says that you are sinning. It is a sin to be controlled by fear. And it's a choice that you've made. And we all have insecurities. I face fear all the time. I face scary things. Every week, you should see me. I know I shouldn't tell you too much, but there's days I just want to hide in my office, right? I don't see anything. I'm fine in here. I'll just close the door and study. And this isn't what God wants for me. If I'm in a position of leadership and there's a problem, I need to be someone that puts God's interest above my own interests. And I need to overcome my fear. And you know what? The Lord can help you. The Lord can help us all. We don't have to be controlled by fear. Now you say to me, Pastor Micah, that's very ideal. Fear-free? I could never do this. You see, I am an introvert. And by nature, I am shy and quiet. I took a personality test. I can't say hard things. I can't do difficult things. It will always be my position that I'll have to be in a position where I can follow somebody else. I'm good at following, but when it comes to leading or doing something that's hard or difficult or something that might hurt someone's feelings, I'll never be able to accomplish that. I would say to you, that's very nice, but you're lying to yourself. That's wrong. Being an introvert, it doesn't mean you lack moral courage. There's all kinds of introverts in Scripture that had all kinds of moral courage. And there's all kinds of extroverts that lacked moral courage and did the wrong thing. Just being an extrovert doesn't make you any more morally courageous than an introvert. God can give courage to all kinds of people. And I think about the different pastors I've met in my lifetime, and they're all different shapes and sizes, aren't they? All different personalities. And I was in a church once, and it was a very, very large church, and the pastor was just so painfully shy. And I thought, of all the people to lead a large church, why this guy? And he really would fight it every Sunday. And he would shake hands. For him, it was like painful to shake each hand. You could just see it in his eyes. But he cared, and he prayed, and he was a leader, and God used him. God used his painfully shy personality to act in bold ways at times. And it was the Lord. The Lord helped him. The Lord can use you, even if you're not the super outgoing extrovert type personality. The Lord can give you moral courage, can't he? And a personality thing is an excuse, because we all have things that we're afraid of, right? And maybe you're more quiet. That's okay. But you can be quietly courageous, and you can be quietly a moral leader. Doing the right thing is a matter of spiritual conviction, and God can give all of us courage as we mature in our faith. It's not just a handful of people. But in case you think that you're all alone, you're the only one that battles this, I want you to look at the Scriptures today. Here's a few people in Scripture that battle the whole courage thing. This might be an encouragement to you. I think about Abraham. Remember him? And he's afraid, and so he lies about who his wife is. He says, my wife? It's my sister, Sarah, which she was, half-sister. But he lies about it because he's afraid of the king, as if God can't protect Abraham. And later in his life, and I don't want to jump ahead too far in Pastor's series, he'll do the same thing again. Same mistake, but he's so afraid. Will I be safe? Can God really protect me? And then later on, you have Isaac, who does a similar trick. He learned from his father how to do things the wrong way. Unfortunate. But these are men of great faith, and yet in this area, they struggle, don't they? They struggle with the courage to do the right thing. I think about people like Moses. God calls Moses, and he's like, is this some kind of sick joke? Me? I can barely talk. There's no way. And you know what? He was a quiet person, wasn't he? And God had to give him that boldness. So he didn't think of himself as the personality type. I think about David, and he's constantly reminding himself of how God can help him. Even when I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. Is it possible that David got nervous? The great warrior, David, nervous? Absolutely. Of course he was scared. You know, if David walked in this room, he looked like everyone else here. He's just a person. He had the same problems that we have. The Lord helped him. He did mighty things, but he struggled. He struggled. We all have our struggles, don't we? I think about Peter when things got really hot. And what happens when people ask him if he's Christ's disciple? He's nervous. A little girl asks him, and he panics. And he denies Christ 3 times. And he has to face the Lord later. And he's like, yeah, I lost my nerve. I was so worried about what people thought about me. I was afraid to do what was right. And then later on in his life, He's supposed to be an ambassador to the Gentiles, and some Gentiles come to him, and other Jewish believers come to him, and he's afraid to eat with them. Because he's like, I'm going to look bad in front of other Christians. Other Christians might look down on me. Oh, no. Not that that ever happens here. Other Christians, what will they think? What if I have the wrong conviction? Oh, he's just so worried about what everyone else thinks about him. He's afraid to do what he knows is right. And Paul tells Peter, you're doing the wrong thing here. And so I think Peter is a man of great faith, and yet at times he struggled. What will people think about me? He's controlled by his fear. I even think about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul prayed at one point. He said, pray for me that I have the boldness to speak the gospel. The Apostle Paul struggles with boldness? Is this possible? What? He witnesses the thousands and thousands of people. He's constantly being beaten. Nothing seems to faze him, right? Come to find out there were things that he had internal struggles, right? If the Apostle Paul struggles with witnessing, I shouldn't feel bad either, should I? I'm not any better than he is. And the Lord has to give me courage, just as the Lord gave him courage. And so fear is a natural thing we all have to face. Fear is a natural struggle. We're going to look at the passage with Aaron. We read it in a scripture in Exodus 32. And Moses is coming down from the mountain. Now, who is Aaron? Aaron is Moses' older brother. And when Moses lacked courage, he asked God, oh, give me some help here. I can't do this on my own. I'm so nervous. And God said, okay, your brother Aaron can be your helper. Okay? He'll be there. He'll support you. And he'll help provide courage for you. Okay, good. Now, Aaron is a man of God. Aaron is a priest. God uses him in a great way. And yet, at this point in his life, he has a major stumble because he gets nervous. He's fearful. So Moses comes down from the mount, and Aaron has allowed the people to do the wrong thing. And they've created this calf, and they're worshiping it. And the allusion to the fact that they put the gold in the fire and out pops a calf, that's an allusion to ancient imagery. They believe that the gods were supernatural and that they would form themselves. And so this is really a false worship. But under pressure, Aaron folds. You know what? Some of us will say this to ourselves. As long as the right people are there, I'll do the right thing. The reason why you need the right people around you is because you're not really a leader. If God makes you into a leader, it doesn't matter who's next to you. You will do what's right. You won't look to someone else to do the right thing first. And I see this too much in our Christian life, you know. I would have done it, but there was no one else there. Yeah, but you were there. You don't need other people to do the right thing. You can do the right thing. You have the Holy Spirit. God can give you the backbone to do it. Don't wait for everybody else. You know, so-and-so failed, so I quit. Well, if he failed and he's doing the wrong thing, then why would you emulate him? It doesn't matter. We follow God, don't we? We don't follow a person. If Pastor Slagle's gone tomorrow, hopefully you'd still do the right thing. Because we're not following people. We're following the Lord. The Lord has to give us courage. So the two people Aaron looks up to, Moses and Joshua, are gone. They don't know when they're going to come back. Maybe they'll never come back. And so he loses hope. He's the only one. And so people are pressuring him. And he knows that's the wrong thing to do. But everyone's saying something to him. And he doesn't want to be the bad guy. Oh, what if your kids don't like you? What would you do then, right? This is what he's thinking. Or the children of Israel, what if they don't like me? Just like parents think, what if my kids don't like me? He wants to be the fun leader, right? He wants to say yes to people. Who wants to say no? Who wants to be the bad guy? No one wants to be the bad guy, right? And he's so worried. Maybe people are criticizing him. Oh, my reputation. What if my reputation's hurt? I can't do something that would make me look bad. People are talking. I might get criticized publicly. And so he wants to avoid being put down. He wants to avoid having his reputation hurt, perhaps. And the people pressure him. And he's so worried about his perception. He'll give in. And he'll build that golden calf for them. Verse 22, this is his response to Moses. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord, referring to Moses, wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. He's saying to his little brother Moses, please, Moses, don't be mad at me. I don't want to disappoint you. And as much as I admire Aaron, this is really a sad moment in his life, isn't he? Don't be mad at me just because I gave in. Please, like me. Please like me. He's so worried about what Moses thinks about him. And he says, thou knowest the people. People pressured me. I was pressured. I had to fold. I didn't have a choice. Yeah, you did. You could have said no. If you're worried about what people say to you, or if you're worried about what people think about you, no is the hardest word, isn't it? We don't want to say no. We'll say, well, maybe, which means no. If you're spiritual, you'll say, I'll pray about it, which means no, right? It's a Christian way of saying it. But when I'm fearful of people think, I can't say the wrong thing. I might let somebody down. And so you have to dance around the truth, don't you? And you have to say things in a really polite way. You can't just come out and say what really is truthful. Now, I'm not saying be obnoxious. I'm not saying being blunt. The scripture says speak the truth in love. But the fact is that we're so good at not offending people that we don't really affect them either, do we? And I wonder if the Lord comes back. I don't think he gives out rewards just for being extra friendly and not really speaking truth. I think the Lord wants us to speak truth in love, but the Lord wants us to speak truth, and that means that you're going to hurt someone's feelings. If you don't hurt anyone's feelings, it's because you're not doing anything for the Lord, are you? And it's easy to hide. So here Aaron is. The people were coming to me, and they were pressuring me, and they're so bad, I had no choice. For they said, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. We don't know where he is. Moses is gone. Oh, Moses is gone? He's the leader? Okay, we can give in now. No. He's looking to people. It's so sad that Aaron is so influenced by what people think of him. And it's so sad when we follow for that same trap, when we're fearful of what other people think. And we're not thinking about what God thinks about us. We think about what people think. And we're so controlled by fear. And we do things that we would never think are good ideas. But we feel pressured and we feel fearful. And so we'll make wrong choices to accommodate those who are around us. Even in the area of your personal convictions, I would say this. I see it on both sides. Sometimes people are stricter than they believe, but they're afraid of what this person thinks or that person thinks, right? And then that person leaves the church and suddenly the standards change. And it's because they were trying to impress that person. Or maybe it's looser. Maybe there's an area of your life you think, I should be stricter, but no one else is stricter in this area. And it's a problem for our family, but no one else has that problem. So people will think we're oddballs if we do that. So I have to do what everyone else does. I'm a combination of the group. No, as the Holy Spirit leads you, you need to be either tighter or looser as the Lord leads you. It's not based on what someone else does or what someone else thinks about you. Because that person can come and that person can go. Or there's been times in my life where I looked up to someone and they disappointed me. And if my whole life is trying to impress that person, then what's going to happen when they disappoint you, right? Then you realize your whole system was based on a person, and that's not going to last. We need to be doing things to impress God. Are you controlled by fear? Does fear control the way you think and act? If you were not fearful, would you think and act differently? Would you address things differently in your families? Would you address things differently at church, at work? Would you act differently in front of your neighbors if you weren't controlled by fear? Someone wrote a book recently called When People Are Big and God Is Small. I love that title. When People Are Big and God Is Small. When we're so affected by what people think and we're so affected by circumstance, we forget about who God is. We forget that he can help us. We can be enamored by people, and we can be so worried about how people perceive us and so worried about our reputation, so worried about being criticized, so worried about not saying the right thing, or how will I come across if I'm honest, if I say I have needs? Boy, if there's a prayer meeting here and you admit that you're struggling, woo, you got leprosy, right? Isn't that how it feels sometimes? Someone admits that they have a need, you're like, whoa, you're not supposed to say that out loud. You're supposed to say Christianese. You know, we have all the right language. We like to say things in very vague manners, but really saying what you mean and being honest, boy, this is a rare thing, isn't it? And everyone kind of looks at that person. You're struggling? What? You can't say stuff like this. But the Lord gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? And this is what we should have more of. Prayer meetings should be shocking times, right? You should hear things that you should be like, wow, I need to pray for him. Because that's what's happening on the inside, isn't it? And how can people pray for us if we're not honest? We need to be transparent. What is your fear? What do you fear? What's your greatest fear? Think about this. Is it family? Are you worried about your kids? What if your kids reject you someday? Is that your greatest fear, your kids? What happens when they grow up? Will they not like me? Is this your greatest fear? What about are your fears? Are they economic? What if I lose my job? What if my business folds tomorrow? What if I get kicked out of my house because I can't make the payments? Is this your greatest fear? What's the greatest fear that you have? Is it health? Is it health? Are you afraid of a bad test result? What's the greatest fear that you face? I want you to think about this. Is it people? Are you afraid of what people think about you? In your own heart, I want you to name the number one. You know, I named the top 10 list for Americans. What's number one on your list of fears? I can tell you what mine is. You want me to tell you? Of course you do. Oh, okay, two nodded heads. I'll tell you. The Lord has to help me with this. This is probably the thing I fear most in the whole world, a fear that I have to give to God. God gives me the victory, okay? It doesn't control me. But my natural inclination is I fear for how Brooklyn, Ashland, and Graceland will turn out when they're adults. I'm afraid they'll walk away from the Lord. That's my greatest fear in life. I think everything else, I think I can make it. But that's something I have to give to God, can't I? Because I can't control how they turn out. I can't make them do the right thing. I can put good things in, and it'll stick with them for life. I know this. The scripture teaches this. But this is something that I battle with. What's your greatest fear? I told you mine. I just embarrassed myself. So anyway, but we can be ourselves here, right? This is the church, and we're full. This place is full of sinners. Look around, right? We can be honest here. What's the greatest fear that you have? What does the Bible say about facing fear? Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Don't be controlled by fear. God can help you. Here it is, right? God can help us. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Psalm 23:4. Yea. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I'm right next to death, I don't have to be scared because you are there. You will give me the grace I need in that moment. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Ha! David did have fear. I can prove it. The Lord had to deliver him from those things. The Lord had to help him to face those things. Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Can you hear him say this to himself? Oh, no, I'm not going to fear. Why is he saying this to himself? Because he wants to fear. He wants to panic, doesn't he? And he has to ask the Lord for help. Proverbs 29:1. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If I fear people, I will be trapped. I have to trust the Lord. I think about Christ, and he gives his disciples some counseling on their fear issues. In Matthew 8:25 through 27, they're out at the sea, and Christ is sleeping in the boat, and a great storm kicks up, and the disciples are panicking. The storm's going to get us. This is it. This is our last chance to live. And they run over, and they wake up Christ. We're going to die here real soon. And this is Christ's words. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. This is the end. Jesus is never worried, is he? He's very calm. Nothing ever bothers him. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So here the disciples are, and they're panicked. What's going to happen? And Jesus says, why don't you have more faith? I'm not going to let you die. I've got things under control. Even if the worst case happened, I would help you with that. You don't have to be controlled by fear, disciples. It's okay. He rebukes the storms, and they say, what is going on? Have they not been paying attention to who he is? He's the Son of God. This is no problem for him. The reason why they're marveling and the reason why they're surprised is they've forgotten who he is. And it's a rebuke to our faith, isn't it? When God does something and we're like, wow, I didn't think you'd answer that prayer. You know, it's, why were we praying if we didn't believe him? This is the disciples. They're asking him, but they don't think he can actually do anything. And they're so controlled by their fear. And he says to them, you lack faith. That's why you're so fearful. You don't have faith. You lack the basic faith to trust me, that I can handle things. The opposite of fear is trust, okay? If you're a fearful person, you lack trust. If you really trust God, then you can face those fears, okay? They don't have to control you. It doesn't mean I don't have a magic wand for making them go away. You'll always have fear. That's a part of the human experience, right? Is we all have things that we fear. There's all things that are out of control. But God can help us, and those fears don't have to control us or debilitate us. We can act even when we're fearful. And this is what courage is, right? Courage is acting in the face of fear. And God can help us. But I have to trust him. If I believe God is who he says he is, he will give me the faith and the grace to get through this situation. I don't have to be afraid, okay? God can help me. Whatever that is, whatever happens, he will be there for me. And he will give me the faith I need and the trust and the grace. And I will get through this. And he will be there and he will comfort me. There's been times in my life where I thought I was done. And those are the times when I sense God's presence the most. And without going deep into the weeds, I had a physical injury many, many years ago. And something happened. I had an accident in my arm, came out of socket. I'll spare you the details. It was very gross. But I remember sitting in the hospital and just sensing the Lord was there. Like I never sensed it before. And I had all kinds of problems financially. I was in school. Things weren't going to go well there. All kinds of things going on in my life. I thought, of all the times to get injured, this is the very worst. And I remember sitting there and just saying, hey, God, I'm here. Between screaming, of course. And sensing that God was there and having a sense of peace that, you know what, even though I'm physically falling apart and they're about to try to put me back together again, it's going to be okay. Whatever happens, God will be here. And that situation was so unique, and it was such a affirmation of the Lord was there, and I just felt the Lord putting his arms around me, and it was fine. And I've never had that feeling quite like that before. But the Lord was, at my lowest point, the Lord was with me the most, and I sensed his presence the most, and it was such an affirming experience, and it was such a helpful thing. If you're a person of faith, when things are at their lowest, you know that God will be there, and you do not have to fear that. All right, I'm going to give an unusual invitation at this time. I want all of you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and look around. This is between you.